24,105 brings you
Phoenix City.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix City. I want to say for another week because that's what I usually say, but it's been a little while, hasn't it? Gents, Dave, Cam and Frosty all here at the table with me. How are we doing?
Hello, hello.
Better for last night.
Don't have COVID, so happy days.
Did you get a test?
No. I'm just...
No. You just feel it in your mind yourself.
Yeah. After the weekend just gone with all those Melbourneites around, I was genuinely worried.
Yeah.
All those Melbourneites.
Four of them.
No, I'm talking about the opposition as well.
True.
Yeah. You were.
I got nowhere near the 22, but actually that's a lie. I did get near them actually.
Did you?
At the end of the day. But yeah, let's just jump straight in. It's been a while, so let's jump straight in and talk about the homecoming game of the one in Phoenix. 3-0 over Western United in front of 24,105 people. Absolutely ridiculous. Just bonkers.
The numbers or?
Just the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
Just ridiculous.
I thought it was interesting because it's like even on the train ride in, I got the very distinct impression that there were a lot of nerves. Everyone was really nervous before the game and even during the game, like I don't, for that kind of number of people in the crowd, didn't feel like we really got going as far as a crowd goes. You'd feel thing would be heaving, but nah.
I think after the third goal.
Yeah.
But at 1-0, we all still were like, we've seen us lift this away before. Even at 2, you were thinking,
we'll still find a way.
Yeah.
It was definitely the third goal. That was the first one I smiled when I went in. I was like, okay, we got this now.
Yeah.
But it's just the whole day before it. Like I was out on the street at, I think I left home at like 9 a.m. and I saw a Phoenix shirt within 10 minutes. And you're like, oh, wow, this is what we've been missing. Just seeing that, like those people around town who are clearly going to the same thing as you. We did a little pub crawl. Dave, you were there. You brought new puppy along to say hello to everybody.
She was very well behaved.
She was very well behaved. I just held on to her for 10 minutes and nothing happened, which was impressive.
You looked very concerned about holding her though.
I thought something was going to go wrong at any moment.
that surprises me after seeing what she's done tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be fair, we thought something was going to go wrong the whole day. We just thought it was going to be the football.
Yeah. The Western United players were out on their pre-game walk and actually walked right past us when we were in between two pubs on Queen's Wharf. So I gave them a little bit of a hiss as they walked past. That was, I think, intrinsic in the way the rest of the day went. But it was just so much fun seeing everyone down at the backbencher, the barbecue going. Backbencher absolutely packed in both bars.
It was a weird scenario because while – it was obviously really nice to be back watching some live football. It was kind of cool that it was only a one-off in many ways because it meant all those people who might come for one or two games a season, every single one of them were at this game. It wasn't, oh, cool, Steve's here today, but next week, you know, someone else will be here. All of those people were all there one day, every single person catching up, having a great time. And it was weird that that's come about because of such like a bad situation. But it made it even cooler because it all came together in a single thing. It was
like
awesome.
Infinity War levels of crossover.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know that reference.
No, I knew you wouldn't. That's why I said it.
I literally bumped into former colleagues that had come in from Featherston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw former Knicks staffers in the crowd who don't know and don't live in Wellington anymore and have just come down for the game, which was awesome.
That's the thing. The number of people that travelled from outside of Wellington to come to this game was phenomenal and awesome to see the people who went to that much effort.
Yeah.
Like, we're privileged to live in Wellington and we get to go and see the Phoenix whenever they play in Wellington very easily. But to have everyone come down and one day, like you said, was amazing. I'm just being distracted by a puppy who clearly wants to get out of their cage, Dave.
Yeah.
Are you going to attend to that or just ignore?
Eat cables or shoelaces. Yeah, so she's probably in the best place.
Yeah, great. But let's talk about the game itself. Obviously, you've said that it was nerve central because this is exactly the kind of game that the Phoenix bottle.
And especially with Rudan, because you know he's going to set up to basically just sucker punch just absorb a bit of heat, sucker punch. Yeah. That's why that first goal was so important, to get it early and really set.
It wasn't that early. It was like the 35th minute.
Yeah, but we'd been kind of on top of them. And if we hadn't got something, it would have, if they'd gone into halftime nil all, that's kind of what they wanted.
Yeah.
And just to get that relief, get the monkey off your back going, we put them under pressure and we got a goal. Cool. And then you saw Western United, they looked a bit like, oh, that wasn't to plan. Shit. Oh, what do we do here? Do we attack now or do we still stick to the game plan? So that first half was, pretty categorical.
I think you summed it up pretty well, actually, because their game plan certainly, they certainly weren't adventurous. They certainly didn't, I didn't feel they were using Diamante and Berisha to the full capabilities that they have in an attacking sense. They were quite happy just passing it amongst the back five and absorbing the pressure.
Rudan literally said that was their game plan. No surprise.
It was quite disappointing to an extent because they're a team like us that had to win that game. I genuinely thought they'd come out and chase it. Even after we went ahead, they still didn't come out and chase it. There was no genuine open goal scoring opportunities that I can recall for them in the 90 minutes.
Well, when you look at the way that the team that they put out and the way they play, I mean, they play anything up to five centre backs. Mm. You see, was it Uzcock? He basically floats between centre back and as a target man, the set piece, he'll come up all the way up to just try and get so they get second phase.
See, last season he was doing the same thing with Jura. Jura was playing send back or pushing into defensive mid as that outlet pass if they needed to retreat with the ball. And then obviously your fullbacks push forward and then he'd drop back in. And it's an interesting system. You're using a defender in a role that doesn't really suit them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like putting this guy into that position, going, you're the best we've got, but you don't really fit.
Yeah, the idea of Durante is basically a ball-playing defensive midfielder is just, you know that something's gone wrong with your strategy there.
And that was quite, and so, you know, it was just, there was slow transition from them. There was slow, everything about their play was ponderous and it just didn't really feel like they were.
When you've got Berisha and Connor Payne there, why the hell aren't you going quick?
Yeah.
Let's flip around though, because I think we were good as much as Western United were poor. I thought we were excellent that first half and worried that a goal wasn't going to come, but I thought we were on top of them. Like, I think in the second minute, the crowd started chanting, we're playing all the football, ironically, and within 10 minutes that was true, because we were all over them for the entire first 35 minutes until the goal went in.
Piscopo.
Oh, wow. How good was he?
Piscopo was phenomenal. Like, he was, obviously we had the outlet of Fenton down the right-hand side, and there was a lot of ball coming in from Fenton. Didn't eventuate into anything, but there was a lot of pressure being created by that. But everything from Piscopo was turned into gold. Honestly, the kid had an absolute blinder. I've never seen him play that well.
Well, I think it came down to the fact that Davila wasn't there because it gave him so much space because he likes drifting in from that left-hand side. He likes drifting into the left and basically getting a good peg on it if they let him, as we saw in that second goal. But it's when he's got that space to operate, he's a very, very dangerous runner with the ball at his feet. It's like you see defenders just sit off going, oh, he will skin me here. We saw last night was the way Ziggy Gordon had to react.
Yeah.
Leave that
we'll
for
get to
later.
That soon, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the real positive about it as well is he didn't succumb to the pressure because obviously with Uli out, he would have been feeling some pressure. He's expected to pick up a large amount of the playmaking all of a sudden. And rather than kind of feeling crushed by the pressure, he thrived under it. He was phenomenal, which is great to see.
Yep. Yeah, well, I've got to say that was he and Devlin for me. Devlin started showing up a lot higher in the midfield as well, really putting himself about, you know, getting on the ball a lot more.
Yeah,
just to take that pressure off.
I've got a stat that I was going to bring up. Opta put a stat out during the game on their Twitter feed that said that after the game, that he had 123 touches in the game, which is a record for any player at Sky Stadium since they've started collecting data back in 2012. So he was getting himself involved left, right, and centre all over the park, which great to see that the players like that were able to react to the pressure of the occasion, that kind of thing, and have their best game yet for the Phoenix.
Yeah, well, I mean, between him, Clayton Lewis and Piscopo, they took all those extra touches for themselves that Davila would have probably taken. And it took a whole lot of pressure off Ball. It meant that he could sit a little higher, be a little more creative and get into those gaps between the lines.
I thought Clayton was phenomenal. The player that we knew could exist, and to see him do that in person, I haven't really paid much attention to him on telly. It's quite hard, but to see him play the way he did in person on Saturday was phenomenal.
Yeah, reminded me of that, the raw talent that the kid had at 15 playing for Olympic. He was a standout at that level, and he's kind of just grown into that. And grown into that talent. He's a very, very good player. He's exactly the kind of player we've wanted at the Knicks. Hopefully he hangs around for quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say he's a standout yet in the A-League, but he's definitely solid. And for the fact that he's a Kiwi boy, not an import, all those things just stack in his favour.
He's not Davila. He's not Castro. No, absolutely not.
And he's never going to be those two.
But he has certainly found his level, he's very good at this level.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think he's a little inconsistent in the game. But his good touches are fantastic.
Let's talk about his goal. Picking the ball up. I mean, it was a little bit lucky with a deflection, but you make your own luck in this kind of game.
Well, who's to know that he wasn't going to slot that in the corner as well?
Absolutely.
Because he's well capable. That left peg of his, if he can get it on that left, he can curl it, he can hit it dead. He can knock them in from a long way out too. So that... So you have someone that's got a bit of range on them. Piscopo can do it as well, but obviously he's got to drift in a long way. But if you can have a late bomb in Clayton Lewis in there and just stick the laces through it, that's going to terrify most keepers.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was it, the one, I can't remember which game it was, but there was one he shot from outside when we were playing at Wollongong and he just put his laces through it, and I'm pretty sure the keeper didn't realise it had gone past him. It was a fair way over the top, but you realise kind of how this kid can hit.
How did the build-up play come? I was sitting at the end at ground level, so I don't recall the build-up to the play.
Honestly, I cannot remember.
To be fair, you'd probably had a few, and you were probably enjoying yourself quite
remember, Dave?
A lot.
Not clearly.
We got into the kind of the middle third, and then it was progressing
It was pass it around, and Clayton picked it up with his back to goal, I believe. This might be entirely wrong, but what I see in my head is he picked it up with his back to goal and turned, and that's what gave him all the space to get a shot off. Mm. So it was well worked from him to create that space, and that's why the Wanderers players are pushed up a little bit, thinking he was going to go backwards. So he created that half yard, two metres, they're the same unit of measure, the 2 metres of space that he needed to get that shot off outside the box, which was well worked from him. And then,
Keeper's unlucky. He did take a deflection, but as you say, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly.
Take the shot. Yeah. And it's gone. It's gone on.
And then great to see a hometown boy on an occasion like that. 24,000 people on the stadium just to see Clayton, who's been in and around Wellington for many, many years. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of us know Barry as well, his old man.
Yeah, hopefully not many have played Barry because your legs might not be the same shape.
I've riffed Barry, and that was a delight, I can tell you.
For a broad definition of delight.
But yeah, great to see Clayton on the score sheet. And it was a goal that we needed, because if we went into the break at nil all, it would have been
a grind.
Unkind on the Phoenix.
Yeah. It's a goal we needed, but a goal we deserved.
Well, and the number of games this season alone, but certainly over the history of the Phoenix, where we've dominated first halves and have gone a nil all, biffed the game away, you know? Yep. We needed that goal to ensure some sort of dominance could continue, and it was really good to see it actually happen.
Yep.
Well, there's nothing worse than being all over them for 45 and you go in with nothing, you know?
Well, that was the thing, is it forced Western United to either chase the game, which they didn't, or sit back and just give us all the time and space with a 1-0 buffer. Mm. And that's going to make you feel pretty good when you know that the opposition is showing you that they can't hurt you.
Yeah, that's particularly the second half. So the second half, there was no urgency. We'll talk about the previous bout from United. When there needed to be, they needed to chase it, and we were quite happy just sitting there and letting them play it amongst the backs and taking those fast break opportunities when they came. And it was just a really good, solid performance in that second half. Didn't need to do anything spectacular, and it still came to us.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. I mean, it was the Piscopo goal. Was more impressive than I think a lot of people are giving it credit for.
It was a lovely finish.
Do you remember the finish is great, and that's what everyone's talking about, but do you remember how he controlled it?
Yeah.
His boot was literally up above his hip, and he like just brought it down to his feet and turned straight away. It was incredibly impressive.
I'll watch
that when I get home.
Yeah.
I remember the first time we saw him at Westpac Stadium. It was one of those preseason kind of free entry, whatever those
home
things
and garden
are.
Show.
Yeah. And he had some phenomenal touches just like that. A lot of the rest of his play looked kind of slightly arrogant and not passing the ball when he should, but there were some phenomenal touches even that first day. And he's just continued to show that he has some some real talent there, and he's brought the rest of the game along with it.
It's 100% in his. It is 100% in his skill set. We call this season. We've talked many times. I think there was a goal he scored, that beautiful pass that he made, curling pass, but into someone running. I think it might have been Ball earlier in the season, or maybe Wayne. But the clearance for him to get the ball was a big hoof up field from Taylor, and the ball's come over his shoulder.
Oh,
and
yes.
He just brought it down and then touch.
That one that,
dead to his feet. It was phenomenal.
That's
so
that's what he did here, almost exactly
that's
the same.
That's the game I think he got booted off as well.
Yes.
He just got kicked to shit.
His touch is just phenomenal.
So, that goal, and then all over Western United from that point. And when that third goal went in, it was just like, okay. Okay, we've finally done this. I think the players realised that as well. But seeing all the players sprint over after that Piscopo goal and just like having a pile on in front of the Yellow Fever, that was just that was so good to welcome the boys back like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was also, you kind of got a feeling for how much they appreciated being, one, back at the stadium, being in Wellington, their home too, but also just having a big crowd, big partisan crowd. I mean, that's got to feel good. I mean, Lewis, you don't see him really... When he scored that one in Wollongong or wherever it was, it's kind of like, cool. But he didn't know what to do with himself when he scored.
I talked to him after the game because, you know, he ran into the corner.
Yeah.
And I genuinely thought, because he was pointing up into the grandstand, that he had mates that were sitting up in that area of the grandstand. And that's why he celebrated there. Nope.
Just didn't know what to do.
He was so excited.
Do you remember, this was like 12 years ago now, Dylan McAllister scored a goal against Boca Juniors and he knee-slided to that area of the ground and there was absolutely nobody there. Yeah. Clayton has chosen the one game in Phoenix history where you can knee-slide to that area of the ground and there are actually people there.
Yeah.
This is the only time you could do it.
He didn't knee-slide though. He jumped and punched.
Any other game, nobody over there at all.
Yeah.
But that was cool to see.
I don't know the time I remember someone celebrating over there. It was Kenny Cunningham. He scored.
After he ran into
the kids holding the Hyundai sign and started rubbing their heads.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do over there.
With the shirt off.
Maybe.
He had his yellow undershirt on. You're talking about Central Coast 3-2 goal.
Yeah.
Right? Good day, that one.
Yeah.
But that brings us to the third goal, which I thought that we had horrifically butchered. Like, this shows how bad Western United were in defence. Yeah. They gave us so much time and space. They had three clearances where they could have got rid of it. Well, they let two players create an overlap. I think it was Fenton who got the assist and Devlin, I want to say.
I would agree with that.
I think that's who it was. But they were both there, able to play an assist and just leaving Tomer Hamed completely free in the box.
Inside the six.
He's
the tallest man. He's renowned for being able to score with his head.
Exactly. And he peeled off from the side that the ball was. They all watched him. It's not like he floated in from the back. He peeled off from the back, came into the penalty spot and then just ran in and hit it in. And it was just so easy.
It was a practice goal.
So easy, yeah.
But by that stage, it realistically didn't matter. I think Western United was so demoralised by that point that
if they were intending to get anything out of this game, you would have expected to see it probably when they went down 1-0. You would expect to see them maybe push, but you might have waited till after halftime, whatever, you know. But we didn't see it then. We didn't see it at 2-0. At that point, they just didn't care. If you weren't going to push it 2-0 down in a must-win game towards the end of your season, what was it going to take for you to push? Were you just waiting for the last 5 minutes and hope you weren't down by 20?
You contrast that with the way, the spirit that Wanderers played.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They knew it was a must-win.
Yeah, and they tried.
I notice I said spirit, and I do use that in inverted commas.
Yeah. I think the point, we Western United, they were on there was four losing games prior to playing us in that game.
And
they hadn't scored. And I think it just showed. And it showed once that first one went in that they're a team who they're lacking self-belief.
Diamante, it's like I didn't know he was playing until about the 30th or 40th minute. I was like, oh, it's him. He's a magic ball. Oh, shit, he's on.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was on the field.
Yeah, but the fact Lewis and Cam Devlin did a magnificent job on him.
His quality didn't particularly show.
No.
And it's obviously there. I actually got a couple of good photos, both of them, on Diamante just marking him out of the game. It was really, really excellent defensive midfield
play. Nice to see someone marked out rather than kicked out, isn't it?
It is,
yes. Oh, imagine that for an idea.
It's so unusual for the A-League. Yeah.
Well, we didn't have Kurt Ames refereeing us, so that's you couldn't know that you were going to get away with it. It was kind of a coin toss.
I don't think we need to talk about the second game. We've pretty much covered it already.
No, we're going to talk about it.
Before we move on as well, there's probably at least one other thing we should talk about, which is Jura.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
you know, there was a lot of social media discussion in the lead up to the game of the right way to treat Jura and, you know, whatever. You know, the reality is he was the opposition for 90 minutes and people did whatever they did, whether that boo or just not acknowledge him. That's fine. I have no strong opinions on
that's
that.
That's my thing. I would rather just not acknowledge him, but that's just me.
The reality is people did whatever they did, but after the 90 minutes, everyone dealt with that just right. And it was fantastic to see. He got the send off from Wellington he deserved. And to be honest, he was the opposition for 90 minutes. So I don't think anyone that planning to clap at the 22nd minute or any of that stuff, he's the opposition. Wait until after the game. And that was the right moment. And it was fantastic.
And 87th minute. 87th minute was where the Durante chance started. I don't think if it hadn't been 3-0 to us, I don't think that would have happened.
The scoreline definitely helped the situation, correct. I think. Yeah.
Well, but even after the game, he gave that interview after full time and walked over and he got a fantastic send off from all those people who were still around.
Yeah. I wasn't there at this point. Could you hear the interview in the stadium? Were they playing it?
No, absolutely not. But it was clear, you know, he was the only person out on the field talking to the camera. And so he was the only person out there. Yeah. And, you know, you could see he was going to have to walk off. And as he finished his interview and started walking over, the Jura chant started up. Everyone clapped for him. Yeah. He clapped back. And he hung around.
The whole zone had stayed as well.
Exactly. Like, and that was the perfect moment.
Absolutely, yeah. It
definitely impacted him. Again, chatted to him after the game. And, it was a really emotional point for him. And to be honest, I think no matter how he's left and all of the all of the baggage that went on around that deal, he was club captain for a decade and it was a beautiful send-off.
Yeah, and I think the all the stuff that he left under was dealt with during the 90 minutes when he was opposition.
Yeah.
Whether that was a boo or a hiss or whatever. But then for everyone that remained, which was basically 2,000 people, to claim him off, that's saying thank you for what you did for our club.
Yeah. And it was awesome. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, the upshot of it, 3-0, kept us in the A-League, basically. We needed that win. Kind of forget that for a moment when you look at the occasion and look at the number of people that turned up and
it was a must win. There was a lot of pressure.
It was a must win.
It's kind of the golden scenario if you're Domi or the Phoenix management that we kind of believed no chance this happens, right? We didn't think we'd get games here and we certainly didn't think they'd be at the critical moment of a finals run.
Yeah.
And yet here we are. It's the perfect moment of a finals run where we're into the must win games and we're back here in front of 20,000 plus crowds. Yeah. It's just... You couldn't write the story better than it's planned out.
To be fair, karma's kind of it's paying Domi back for the whole season in Wollongong.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know how many people on Wellington actually cared about where we are on the table or the results recently. I didn't really realise how important this game was until afterwards when I'm like, oh yeah, that was a big game.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much Wellington knew, but it means that you got all the people who knew that coming along anyway, plus the casuals and
the big thing is I guarantee you the players knew.
Exactly.
And it didn't matter what reason the people were there and what reason they were making noise.
Yeah.
Having 20,000 people there cheering them on and them knowing how important it was must have helped.
I was huge. There was a moment where somebody made a tackle and gave away a free kick or something like that right in front of like the zone end of the ground down by the corner and just gave it the Madden like pump up the crowd gesture. And like the fact that you have that all of a sudden, we haven't seen that in years. So.
Yeah, Toma did it. Devlin did it after Piscopo's goal.
Yeah.
It was like the fact that they were reacting positively was awesome.
Devlin did that after every goal.
Yeah.
Every single, like after the Lewis goal, there's a photograph of him and Lewis arm in arm pumping at that.
Yeah.
Then after the Piscopo goal, he's standing there in front of and then he's hugging Toma and then he's hugging Waino as well. Yeah. And then after the Toma goal, he's doing exactly the same thing by himself, just giving it everything for the crowd to follow him. So shows how much it was worth to them, shows how much that meant to them, and that's amazing.
I think the support at Wollongong's been pretty good, but it is not on the same scale as 25,000 people. No, it just
and
isn't.
We're not their team, right?
Exactly.
And they've done really well getting behind them, but they know that we're there for a season and why we're there for a season. They'll come along and see some A-League football and that's great, but we're not the Wollongong Wolves.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Yeah, and I think it also meant a lot to the people who have been there for the kind of 5,000 people who have stuck it out for the last 5-6 years when it's been tough at times. And it was so awesome to see that a lot of other people in Wellington came along and like recognised the situation we were in and joined in on a day that we knew was going to be great. So that was great to watch.
We killed off the snake season.
And we did kill off the snake season.
Done.
Hey, isn't it fun killing off Western United season and then 3 days later killing off Western Sydney Wanderers season?
Yeah,
it is.
That is fun.
Delicious.
That is some fun shit right there.
Yeah.
2-1 over West Sydney Wanderers last night as we record. This was a much harder watch.
To be fair, this is the quintessential game of two halves, really, because I thought that first half was really well contested.
Yeah.
And we both teams, like, if they'd gone in 2-1, you'd have probably gone, okay. We went in 2-1 and we're gone, yeah, okay, that's deep. It was a good game.
Can I?
Second half.
It depends on what goals these two are.
Yeah, fair enough. But the second half, Jesus Christ.
That's a good way to put
that
it.
That is just so hard.
We should, like, I had resigned myself in about the 49th minute when we had that 1 minute of three shots at the start of the second half.
And then it was like, great. Yes, we're going to kill them off.
Yeah. And then after that, I was like, okay, we're conceding. The trick here is we need to score again. Mm. And somehow, I don't know how we achieved it, but we managed to repel everything that the Wanderers threw at us.
It's a funny one as well, because it's the stark contrast in terms of excitement, but also in terms of style. I mean, we talked about it earlier, how Western Sydney actually came out and tried to win this.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
they went for it. They went a goal down and went, well, shit, we need to get up for
this.
When
they play five strikers.
And they came back for it, and we were up for it as well, and you could see that. And everything about that scenario you'd think would make this a great watch for the neutral, but it wasn't. It was just
no, because the refereeing was diabolical.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it wasn't the game of two halves at all. It was one 90-minute stretch of incompetence. There was barely any football.
I totally agree that there was a massive amount of incompetence coming from one individual on the field.
Yeah, and mostly around one individual. Zicky Gordon was just, he should have been sent off twice. Like, that should have been a yellow card for the tackle on Piscopo. Brought Piscopo. And, like, sure, it's a shoulder injury. That's not what he was out to achieve, but he collects some late with studs into the leg. Like, that's such an easy yellow card.
Yeah, and he grabs the shirt as
the
well.
Way down, yeah.
He's definitely trying to get him. There was the studs up into the ankle.
That's the second one. Yeah. And so that should have been a second yellow.
Yeah.
But he didn't get yellow for that either.
Oh, and both of those were pretty orange. You've seen those given red before. Yeah. And I don't think necessarily either of them were straight reds.
I agree.
The conversation certainly existed about yellows.
He was already on his.
Didn't even get the yellow.
No, he was already on his last warning after the Piscopo one.
Well, neither of these ones we're talking about did he get a yellow for. He was fine. The second half, when he collected, who was it with the legs?
Soteria.
And finally
that
got his yellow.
Diabolical.
But that was red for me.
Yeah. This one, I agree. This one should have been red.
It's
everything
just like
about it.
Late studs into ankle all the way on the ankle. Everything about this is just red, red, red. And I don't understand how a referee on the field misses this and then how VAR doesn't get involved and go, probably want to take a look at this one.
Yeah, it's certainly you have to go have a look. I don't think Kurt Ames would have done anything useful because I don't think he had his eyes open game.
I think it's on-field decision either way. Whether Ames showed a red and then they look at it and go, maybe it wasn't. I think they'd stick with the red, but he showed a yellow. But it's just, And then we haven't talked about the Wanderers goal yet at all, which is so bullshit. Like, Ollie Sale at halftime, Bolter did well to actually like get into very specifically say the words that everyone needs to hear of, I was impeded by the offside player.
And credit to Bozer as well. He initially talked it down going, oh, I don't think it was that obstructed. And then when he saw the angle that shows it, he's like, oh, it does look like he's quite obstructed there, doesn't it? And he was willing to say, oh, no, on the evidence we now have, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And the commentary box was riding Kurt Ames pretty hard as well. But it was the fascinating part of this decision for me is everything I saw suggested to me the AR had called this offside. He put his flag up. You can see him put his flag up. Yeah. And the referee's already awarded the goal. Then he sees the flag and goes, okay, better go find out what that was about. But the flag was already up. The flag was up immediately.
Yeah.
Kurt Ames awards the goal before even having a look at his AR to see whether the flag's gone.
With these decisions, that flag up definitely means let's have a chat.
But
he's not signaling offside because the flag stays straight up. It doesn't come down. So he's not saying I'm giving that I was offside. He's saying I'm not sure. And these decisions in particular because you don't have the right angles in AR. You can say that player was in an offside position. Let's chat about whether he would have got involved. Yeah. And so what the referee's done is they come over, had that chat. Kurt Ames has gone, nah, I think we're good because he's not signaled anything. And then VAR has gone, probably not enough evidence here to overturn your on-field decision, which was goal. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're given the goal.
I think if Kurt Ames is a competent referee and sees that flag straight away and has that chat before awarding the goal, I think it goes upstairs with a, we don't think this is a goal. Because well, the AR is adamant that he's in an offside position, and I think...
He is in an offside position. Yeah. Definitely is.
And and I think you send that upstairs going, we think there's an offside player, rather than we think this is a goal.
Well, it's not a referral, though. You're not going upstairs going, can you check this out for us?
They make a decision. And the decision is, we think there's an offside player. I think that would have been the on-field decision rather than goal. Kurt Am's only awards goal before he even has that chat. And I just think if he has that chat first, if he's a competent referee, sees the flag, goes and has that chat and goes, oh, actually, I didn't see that player. We'll trust the AR on this.
Yeah.
I think it goes very differently.
Well, I think he did see the player, but ruled that there was no obstruction going on.
Which I think I'm giving him too much credit.
I think I'm giving him no credit at all here because, but I don't think the timing, personally, I don't think the timing had much to do with it. I think that he's just gone and made a wrong decision and then the VAR has not had enough evidence to overturn it because he was incompetent the rest of the game, basically.
Well, I think if the decision is on field, yes, the initial angles they had, it's very difficult to overturn that. I think if it goes upstairs, though, with on-field decision is offside,
correct.
Absolutely, you've got enough evidence to support that, and it stays as offside.
Yeah, I think no matter what decision they made on the field, VAR goes with it because there's just not enough evidence either way to say definitively. But what they should have done was called offside on the field. That's what the correct decision would have been. But let's talk about the two Phoenix goals. Two corners. Absolutely blood moon ridiculousness.
Well, it was appropriate for last night then, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think we were that good. I mean, great balls in from Lewis, but near post defending.
Yeah. Just near post and literally no one there.
Ridiculous defending.
Yeah. The ball one, Olgi attempt onto the crossbar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I thought that was...
He was unmarked. Doran says,
that's a great header from Tim Payne.
Yeah.
No.
honestly, on first look, it did look like it was Tim Payne though, didn't it?
Yeah,
and it was only on the replay where you go, actually that's a fantastic attacking header from the defender.
I reckon he got a touch on that.
Yeah.
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 Crossover. But then just tapped it on the back post by ball. Like just horrific all round from West Sydney.
They know that they're bad at corners. Why don't they at least do the old fashioned guys on the post? Because we know we're fucking awful.
To be fair, there were two guys back there with ball when he got his toe the ball, but neither of them was doing anything.
Neither of them was either on the post or marking ball. They were just standing there.
If there's a team you don't expect to score from a corner,
it's us.
Yeah, you don't spend a lot of time on defending your corners in the build up to this game. You go, they won't score them anyway. Just do whatever you want, boys.
Yeah.
But clearly, just do whatever you want, boys, was horrendous. Yeah. It was like, let's forget how to play football.
I saw, and just help them
get it in.
That second one was even worse.
I saw a tweet on Twitter saying that at the start of the season, Wanderers, this is from a Wanderers fan, that at the start of the season, we were only conceding from corners. Now we're conceding from every corner. Well done, boys.
Yeah.
The second one, Stephen Taylor.
So obviously, Tom has scored it, but it was Stephen Taylor creating that space.
Yeah.
Where he does. And
just stood
the
there.
Commentator, exactly. But the commentator made the point. He doesn't have to move.
No.
He's allowed to stand there. Yeah. And he's not causing an obstruction if he's not running into people. He's not leaning into people either.
He's just standing still. And he's going, yep.
People moving around him, and it creates the space for Toma. It's just great header, well done. Yeah, very good header.
Helped by the fact that Ziggy Gordon crouched down.
I thought, was it Hamill's defending for Piscopo's goal against Western United was pretty average.
Standoffish,
But that from Ziggy Gordon was amateur hour.
I was sure that Toma had pushed him down. I saw with the replay. It's like he didn't. He almost looked like he was going to, and then Ziggy just crouched down.
He was looking for another incorrect call from the official of ruling there was a push there, but of course there was nothing.
But he didn't even really try and sell it. No. That was the thing. Like if he didn't throw himself on the ground. You've got to try and.
He must have known.
You got to milk it harder than that.
He must have known there was no touch, But yeah, absolutely ridiculous. We found ourselves at 2-1 going into the half, which was just not the way that we would score goals. But given that Piscopo had to be subbed off with that shoulder injury very soon after his that first tackle, that was the only way we were really going to score goals.
Well,
and that's the problem now.
I thought we came back really, really well from there. As soon as he went off, it felt like the team doubled down.
For 10 minutes.
Yeah, most of the rest of the half, they were looking a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say looked better with Piscopo was on.
Yeah.
But the rest of the team picked up the slack.
The same conundrum that Andy Harper had in commentary was that he didn't want to say that the Phoenix were better without Piscopo, but we certainly...
The stats got better for a while.
Exactly.
But I think there were a lot of tweets and social media posts that I saw at that moment saying, well, that's our season done.
Yeah.
Uli's out. Reno's gone now. we've got nothing without that. It's over. And in that moment, you had to think, well, yep, these people are probably right. That. Yeah. And so it's good to see we got up even without them. But, I mean, I don't see us being able to continue a deep finals run without at least one of those two getting back on the park.
Well, we need one of them on Sunday. We're now in the situation we have been for the last three games of we have to win every game. And yep, we now have to win every game to the grand final if we're going to win it all. Just yep, to qualify, just to get through.
Yep.
So we need at least one of those two on the field on Sunday to give us that chance of winning. And if they're not, so be it. We can still win. But if one of them is, well, we have a much greater chance.
And I think you could probably get away with one game. Whether this weekend is the game you want to try that in, I don't know. But I think if you have to muscle through one game, you know, just the boys need to get up for it. It's one game, whatever. I think maybe you could do that. But any more than one game without either of them, you're really going to start to struggle, you know?
Yeah, well,
you
honestly,
can't have a run of games without either of them. You Uli's, just can't.
It was Western United. Western United was the game we could have muscled through without them.
Well, we got through West Sydney without them.
Just.
Yep.
Because that second half was not comfortable in
this
slide.
This is Wanderers who had either, what was it? They hadn't lost in five games. I mean, that's a good record in the A-League. Doesn't really matter.
What's our record like then at the moment?
Nine. Well, ours is nine. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But
we've got a couple too many draws, but yeah, still nine.
Yeah.
Sorry, before we say that, and those 2 points we dropped against MacArthur with that stupid red card from Alex Rufo right now, those points look incredibly valuable, don't they?
Mm. The word on the street is that Uli might make it onto the bench,
which is
interesting.
That's enough.
Well,
that's enough.
He's been out 2 weeks, and I'm kind of like, if he's been sat on the bench, he's 50-50 for mine.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah. But at least for me, what I see there is enough hope that he's not far away. And I think that's where, when I'm talking about maybe the boys can get through one game without them, to do that, I think there needs to be the hope that you get through this one and then the boys are back. Yeah. Like, that's where it needs to be. And him being on the bench says to me, that's very plausible. Whereas if he's still not even on the bench, you go, shit, is he 3 weeks away? You know?
I think that's Oofy keeping him in the back pocket going, if we're up, all good, he stays on the bench.
Yep.
Otherwise, we roll the dice. And
exactly. Might as well injure him.
Before we move on to the Perth game, let's just quickly wrap up the Western Sydney game. That last 10 minutes where we just saved it however we could, whether it was
Taylor and Payne and so
Payne.
Were just
exactly
that block by Payne, then the ball's still in play and he just pumping. Knows how big it is.
Well, that's the one that everyone's talking about because it was fist bump afterwards, but Taylor had ones like that. Yeah. There was a Clayton Lewis flying header to get rid of
that was
one
right
before
the
Payne one.
Yeah. That was
Ollie
beauty.
Made some point blank saves. Like we're doing ourselves
at Ollie being across both games.
Absolutely, yeah.
With the exception of that pass out in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. But that's the first time we've seen any kind of real slip up by him.
Second. He won't.
And it was
one earlier in the season.
It was immediately after the referees had given the Western Sydney Wanderers a corner that shouldn't have been a corner.
Yeah.
And then they've scored a dodgy offside goal from it. So you can't blame him for being a little bit rattled.
And he was also going off at the ref that entire time.
Fair play to him. It wasn't a corner and it wasn't a goal. So we didn't talk about the corner only, but it wasn't a corner. That was
definitely wasn't
so bad.
Payne just kicked it into the striker.
But we just rallied. Like, that's the kind of performance that under an old regime, under a different captaincy, under a different coach, we might not have got that. Mm-hmm. But with Taylor's on the field, with Oofy barking orders from the side, with a bunch of Kiwi boys digging in, that was just phenomenal to watch. It was a hard watch. Mm-hmm. My little heart has not cared about football for a long time. And all of a sudden I was thrust into a moment where I cared about the football and it was a hard watch.
Yeah.
You're waiting for the hurt to come back.
Yeah, I was ready for it.
How good was 96 minute final whistle?
Oh yeah, phenomenal.
When you have that existential issue and then you get to the 96 minute and the whistle goes and that relief, that adrenaline rush, that is awesome.
Yeah, that's not helpful for trying to get to sleep.
I had to read a book for a while.
I couldn't get to sleep till 1 a.m.
I actually got up afterwards and went out and looked at the blood moon because I was just so amped
by it. We did that too.
I think if you got a video of that moment, the Twitter video of Piney
Oh, yeah, that's gold.
I haven't seen it.
It's good.
Oh, yeah, it is. Stuck in a hotel.
Stuck in a hotel room in Melbourne watching it with one of the other new Sin employees that isn't quite as into football as Piney is.
Well, yeah, not at all from the sounds of it.
They've been on the beers that night, but fair play to Piney enjoying it. So, yeah. But the upshot is, of that is that we keep the season in our own hands for the time being. The teams around us who we could pass are pretty much Brisbane, Central Coast and MacArthur.
Can we almost discount Brisbane?
Let's talk about the table. So Brisbane are 3 points ahead of us on 37. They're not the goal.
But if we pip game them, in hand?
Game in hand, yeah. Everyone has a game on hand over us. If we pip Brisbane, great, but that's going to be accidental. The two teams that we could pass are Central Coast and MacArthur. They play each other in 7 minutes' time. So by the time you listen to this, it'll all be done. So we'll know a bit more about that.
And we need the Mariners to either win or draw.
Well, yeah, the best result. The key factor here is we have a game to play against MacArthur.
Yep.
That's the big one. We have to win that. If we don't win that, everything's all over.
Yeah, but we also have to beat Perth. So we literally every game has to be a win.
Yeah, absolutely. But Central Coast and MacArthur, because we play MacArthur, it's better for us if Central Coast win that, in my opinion, when we just try and
put MacArthur. Because then it's in our own hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Rather than, relying then on a result and from someone else to get you through.
Also, the confidence that we've had on the field, both backs to the wall win against the Wanderers and a flaying of the Snakes.
Yeah.
That's the time you do want to have it on your own hands when the team is up and you're confident.
And if we go into that MacArthur game still in it, it's because we've just beaten Perth. So that's three wins on the trot, 10 games unbeaten, and then taking someone on after another big game up at Eden Park, I think confidence will be sky high for that. So I think that that would be a good situation to put ourselves in, but it's relying tonight on Central Coast Mariners winning. If they draw, it's not the end of the world because if either of them drop points and we still win both, then we go through.
Yeah, our goal difference is significantly better than
much better, yeah. We're positive they're both, we're plus seven, they're both either zero or plus three. So if they drop points, then that'll be, it won't go up heaps. So there are options, but yeah, obviously that's the big one. And most people listening to this will know what's happened. So keeping it in our own hands will be phenomenal. And that brings us to Eden Park on Sunday, 3:30 p.m. against Perth Glory, who are 2 points behind us, looking pretty unlikely to make the six. They've still got three games to play, but beating them would end their season as well, which would be fun.
Yep.
Fun to do it 3 weeks in a row.
You're really getting me excited now, Pat.
Well, and we keep talking about these games we must win. We have to end every one of these team seasons along the way.
It's just like, if we make the playoffs, it's because we beat West United, Western Sydney, Perth Glory, and then MacArthur. And at each point, that was the game that cost them their season. Yeah. So,
delicious.
I think it's probably a 25% chance that we make the top six at this point. And that's just because of a slightly slow start, some drop points against teams, things like that.
That's not drop points, though. The one I specifically remembered is the referee screwing
up. That's what I mean. Yeah. Drop points because of that red card.
And the victory.
Actually, if we're going to blame it on anything, it's our loss to victory early doors.
Because they're pants.
But they are pants, and we should have won that game and didn't.
We should have destroyed them, but to be fair, they deserved that one.
Yeah. So Perth Glory, Uli Devia from the bench. Like you said earlier, I think he's not going to start. No way. You've got to get him through the MacArthur game. You've got to keep him fit for that. But if we need a goal with 20 to go, that's 1-1.
Yep.
You bring him on and he'll create something. I think that's the time you use him.
Yeah, the idea of Uli running at tired legs, that's a good option.
Yep, absolutely. I'm not even sure you bring him on if we're down 1-0.
I don't think your season's there and then.
I don't think you risk his injury if we're down by one.
Oh, no, I do. I think you have to roll the dice.
Really?
I do. Yeah. Yep. 100%.
Play well for
because we have to win every single game.
We need two goals. If we're down 1-0, we need two goals.
Yeah. If that game ends a loss, what's the point in having him the next week?
True.
Yeah.
Good point. If it's even a draw, there's no point.
It depends on what kind of injury he's got. Do we know, hamstring?
Uli's
two very different parts of the body.
Uli's hamstring, piscopos his shoulder.
Yeah. So if it's one of those injuries with Uli where if you tweak it again when it's not quite healed, you're out for 6 months.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Yeah. Well, but yes and no. I mean, if our season's over.
Yeah, doesn't matter whether you can play 4 weeks from now, it's irrelevant.
If he's out for six months, then he doesn't start the next season.
If anything but in front and he's on the bench, you bring him on.
Sweet. Mm. Done.
Yeah.
Unless you're dominating without him, and you're just waiting for the goal to go in. But
Even then.
But then you throw them on for the last 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe last five, last 10 and go, we haven't got it, we should have got it and didn't. Correct. Now you do something different.
Yep.
But if you're absolutely dominating the game, you don't change it.
Yeah, perfect. Eden Park, they've sold, what was the last figure I think we've seen? 16,000?
13 last I heard.
I think it was 16.
They definitely said 15. I've seen 15.
No, I've seen 16 as well.
They come from the club or come from Domi because I look it up.
Well, so I saw 15 about lunchtime yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying as well. That
was Facebook from the club.
Yeah.
So. That's the one I've seen, which that's a good number. And we've had a whole day since then. So I'd expect at least another 1,000 or 2 on top of that.
We were selling 1,000 a day for the Wellington game at similar points from the game at similar sales. So
17 from Domi 2 hours ago.
There we go. So
2,000 since that 15 yesterday.
I think we're looking at, if everyone turns up, if the weather's not, what?
30.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at another above 20K. I think.
Oh, definitely above 20.
Yeah.
Saying if the weather's meant to be ratchet.
Oh, it's okay. Well, then I think it's just 20. I don't think you'd get anybody walking up on the day.
I thought it was okay.
If the weather's bad, there's no walk up.
If the weather's nice,
I reckon we could push 30.
Yeah. Unless the forecast changed some point today. It's meant to rain from what I saw. It's meant to be even worse in Wellington, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It does about 7 o'clock in the morning and 9:30 at night. So outside that,
rain doesn't affect the plane, can you? Fine.
Sunday, I've got possible light rain in the evening and overnight.
That's an improvement on where it was.
Is it here or Auckland?
That's Auckland.
Let's hope it keeps improving because it was more like guaranteed light rain before.
Right.
Well, it's showing basically Saturday's that.
Okay, that's good. I think it would be a huge bonus to get another 20,000 plus crowd here.
Yep.
I think that would be awesome if Auckland could turn out like that for the club. And also just because we saw how much of a difference that support made to the Wellington game.
Yeah, considering how much the owners have shelled out this season of their own money, keeping the team in Australia, keeping it going, that the sheer numbers and the money that they can generate back from that is awesome.
I don't think that's going to sell Aucklanders, though. I think
it's not going to sell Aucklanders, but it's what we need.
The emotion on the pitch is what's going to sell Aucklanders on the game.
I think realistically, the money is probably not that great. I think they will make some money off it, but hosting 2 one-offs like this is not going to do a world of good for replacing all the money they've spent.
No,
but what it will do is show them that the desire for this club is still there.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be really important because I think we would be the first to admit that this season has felt very disconnected, right? And there were points this season where some of the most ardent Fever fans I know of,
some in this room,
didn't even watch games, couldn't have cared less.
Put my hand up
and
right now.
I think we were at a real tipping point of you might have lost some of those bolted on fans forever if this had gone the wrong way. And that would have been really tough on, the Domies and Robs of the world to see that happening. But this has to restore some of that confidence of, when we can get this back to Wellington, the fans are still there. They're still, chomping at the bit to watch some football. This still matters.
Well, I mean, on top of that, we've got the whole Ben Old story as well. I mean, yes, if he develops and he goes off to another other club, that's a money generator. We know that, players coming out of the academy can generate the club money. It's a great story for, seeing young fellas come on. First touch is a nutmeg. I mean, this is all really good optics. It shows that, that there is a, not just tells Domi that, 20,000 people came on. It's like, the academy that's been sitting back here and training and not getting to play with the big boys, they've still been working hard and they're actually producing good, talented players who aren't overawed, just slapped on for a first game. I mean, how many trainings did he do with the first team?
Three.
Managed to impress the coach enough to get on the bench. And then when he gets on the bench, he goes, fuck it, I'm going. I'm having a crack. And then gets taken up to Auckland as well.
Yeah. Oh, no, he was taken to Australia as well.
Yeah.
He was on the bench last night.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I just think it's a huge tick in the column of keep doing this, please.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked for everyone at the Phoenix, the staff members there who put a whole lot of work in. I know they contracted some old employees back who knew what to do in Wellington because they had no event staff here.
Yeah.
But people putting in long hours at that club to get the payoff that they did on Saturday was huge, and to get it again on Sunday would be great as well. So
they're doing the same for Sunday too. Old employees are coming along on Sunday to help out.
I'm just stoked for everyone involved with the club, be it players, fans, staff,
There were some pretty dark times for them last year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was obviously people lost their jobs because of COVID within the club. Staff were taking pay cuts. There was a lot of stuff going on there that they were doing to keep the club alive. And the fact that they can get those kind of days where they actually do get to shine in the sun.
Well, it'd be nice to finish the season on a high. Even if we go out, basically, that we don't get the points against Perth, it's like we can still go, when we got the team back, we had two massive turnouts. People still care. Our players are still coming through. I mean, we've had, 4 years of pretty dire stuff coming through where we haven't had a full season where we go, actually, this has been good. We just haven't had that. As much as we got a sniff of it last season.
And a sniff of the season before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just sniffs.
Well, just sniffs.
And add on this, the contract extensions we've had announced recently as well. This, you know, you've got that positivity showing through from the fans still supporting the club, and the club clearly offering that same support back to the players, the coaches. You know, there is some future plan there. You know, the people we've re-signed in the last couple of weeks, and you'd have to hazard a guess that some of those deals were done more than a couple of weeks ago, but the timing of those announcements coinciding with all of this positivity about these two games in New Zealand just shows how good the next year or two are going
to
be.
And we've had so many good things to talk about tonight. We're 51 minutes into this podcast. We haven't mentioned that our coach just signed on for 2 more years.
Yeah.
Like, coach, Ben Wayne, Clayton Lewis, Ollie Sale.
Just crazy. That's, like,
great. Tim Payne did.
He's done previously.
Yeah.
He's already signed for his season already.
He's on a longer term. But yeah, the fact that like that's not the thing we're leading with, because so much other good stuff has happened in the last 7 days. Phenomenal. And it'll keep going up in Auckland. Speaking of good things, a new TV deal for the league next season. After a few years of Fox playing chicken with the league and clearly wanting to get out and all the stuff that's come with that, getting Mark Bolzich and Adam Peacock commentating every single game and having to put up with Brendan Speed and Andy Harper and no Simon Hill, all that stuff.
And Simon Hill just sitting there not having any role in it.
Channel 10 and Paramount have Paramount Plus, which is a thing apparently.
Yep.
I had no idea that was a thing, but now
me
I do. But Channel 10 signing on to be the new broadcasters of the league, which is great. They'll be showing one game a week on Channel 10, which is a big free-to-air channel. Free-to-air. One of the big.
That's massive.
That's like TV3 over there, right? Like it's big.
Yep.
Channel 7, 9 and 10 are the big ones, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's huge. But then every game is on Paramount Plus, which is $9 Australian to sign up to, and you can watch it on streaming like that, which I see people complaining about how much that costs, but they forget that the league was behind a $60 paywall per month for the last 10 years.
So cheap. This is fantastic.
I would love to pay $9 just for the A-League, but you also get all the other Paramount content with that because it's Paramount Plus. From a New Zealand perspective, we don't know yet. There's no announcement about what the situation here is.
Oh, it's been strongly implied that we will have Paramount Plus, but not explicitly stated, and no pricing or any of that, but
it's complicated because Sky is a sponsor of the club.
Exactly. So it's been implied that we will get Paramount Plus. Whether we get Paramount Plus with the A-League,
correct,
it still remains to be seen.
Yes.
Sky would be you imagine the incumbent. They might have to stump up a bit more cash than they wanted to otherwise to keep the A-League.
It's also possible Paramount Plus might become a platform on Sky as well. They may do that kind of deal, and then the A-League could stay on Paramount Plus, and that
much just wait and see for New Zealand.
Yeah,
I think
because the rights are separate, it is going to be quite. A lot harder to unpack.
Yeah, and so they're set in the next couple of months to work that kind of thing out. So
I might have to move to Australia for every game just to
watch it. Just watch Paramount.
Digitally move.
Yeah. There you go.
If they have Simon Hill on, I'll be there, bro.
Surely, they would have been clever to have signed him up for day one announcement.
Yes.
Be like, we've got the A-League and we've got Simon Hill.
Yeah.
That'll have been the clever thing to do. They'll announce him.
It's phenomenal how widely loved that man is in football circles in this part of the world.
Simon Hill and what's that other guy, Tio?
Oh, but Tio's not that well known.
He's a good commentator, but he's not Simon Hill.
Simon Hill first.
There's another thing as well that I noticed, because I was reading a few Reddit threads about this, and people are already rightly speculating who are the commentators going to be. And in almost every post, even from the Australians, they're saying, and the Kiwis. They're not naming Piney, because they don't know Piney as well as we do. But pretty much universally, they all are like, get those Kiwi guys on. They seem good. And I was kind of surprised to see that because I expected a bit more kind of umming and ahhing over that.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of people like pleasantly surprised at hearing Piney and Fred on Saturday at the game. Like they are passionate about football. They're not a bore to listen to. They stupid shit constantly, mm-hmm. yep. which is just, it's a nice change on the Fox commentary yep. team.
The other name that, so of the Fox team, a lot of people are talking about Peacock coming yep. across. Lots of the others are pretty okay. happy to see go by the wayside, but
yeah.
Peacock's universally.
As long as you get rid of Robbie Slater, Mark Bosnich, and Brendan Speed. Those are the three yep. that I'm just like, oh.
See, Harper? I'm okay Andy with Harper, Bosnich, but the others, yeah.
Bosnich as an analyst, fine.
Yes.
Bosnich is a commentator. He's not a commentator. He never was. He just happened to have a contract with Fox that hadn't expired yet. That's why he's commentator.
And I think, as you say, they cut down so much staff
yeah.
that he had to end up taking a role which isn't really suited to him.
Adam Peacock is commentator games. He's hired as a presenter for magazine shows.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. I think that's where you need to put Bozza. Put yeah. Adam Peacock presenting those magazine shows with Bozza as an analyst, absolutely fine. I'm okay with that.
I wouldn't watch nope. those. But a lot of people would.
So.
The other name that kept coming up is Tara as well.
Oh, yeah, Tara Rush yeah. going to come back from. Yeah. She's on pregnancy leave at the moment, so yep. she'll be back.
Could they get Mel back? Mel McLaughlin?
Mel is currently a Channel 10 employee. So yep.
That would be awesome.
By default. Mel McLaughlin yes. is there.
That'll be interesting.
The other thing is money, the $32 million, which won't cover the salary cap as it currently stands, which is the salary cap has previously been paid for entirely by the TV deal, less so in the last season since the resumption of the league and COVID.
Cover the salary cap.
But nothing else.
Exactly, but nothing else. And so it all depends on where the rest of that money's going because you need admin costs yeah. and we still don't know whether or not this is including production correct. Or whether that money is meant to pay for production.
Yep. Yep.
That detail which is not clear. Someone needs to film and produce this content.
Yeah. Yep. And that's expensive. Very expensive.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's part of why Sky paid so little for the rights for so long because they were doing 1/10 of the games in the league.
Correct.
Doing it themselves. But there's also another $8 million a year in Contra, which is marketing, advertising, that kind of thing, which I think will be filling a void and quietening people down who complain about the lack of advertising.
It's just going to be TV ads on Channel 10.
That's good.
That's good though, right?
But the fact that 1 month ago, Channel 10, the project, was saying whatever their Channel 10 magazine show at 7 p.m. is, they were saying crowds of 990 at West United. Is the A-League an absolute strife? And last night they had Michael Zorn, one of the W-League players, I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was, on it talking how awesome the deal is. Like just that switch and because they're now doing cross promotion for something that they carry is huge.
I think this is the big part is it's free to air promotion. It's not, you know, Sky do some ads on Sky, but honestly, you've already got Sky. It's irrelevant. Whereas imagine if they were chucking ads on TV1 or TV3. That would be huge, right? And that's essentially what this deal is. That $8 million of Contra onto free to air TV is huge.
The other thing is that Channel 10 vetoed from bidding for the ARL and the NRL. Means that they can't have anything up against the A-League. That's their sport.
Yeah.
And that's golden.
Yeah.
Because it means that we're not going to get bumped. Our timetables aren't going to get, pushed down the ladder. It's
the last sport that they had was Big Bash up until 3 years ago, I believe, 2018, when they lost it to Channel 9, and they haven't had a sport since. So this is big for them as well that they got something sporting back. It's like a Mabel when they talk about getting a car, like they just need something like that to make them legitimate again in the sporting landscape. So yeah, I'm surprised they agreed to that deal and part of the contract. But
with the Fox money released from having to pay for the A-League.
Mm.
Fox want the NRL, so they will up their NRL.
Yeah,
Fox will spend money elsewhere. Which is fine. But I think this is good. Even though the money is not some kind of absurd amount of money like what Gallup used to talk about, $70 million.
He never got that.
No, he never did. But they seem to believe there was a lot of value there that no one ever managed to realize. I don't even care what the dollars are on this. This on the face of it seems like a better deal. The money's there or thereabout, and what opportunity it's going to open up is so much better. And it breaks us away from all of those problems of, basically the broadcaster setting the draw, the broadcasters neglecting everything about the game, giving us the second tier everything. Suddenly we've got someone who's actually going to care about it. Even if they're not paying top dollar for it, I don't care. We're finally going to see, hopefully, it getting, premier position on a TV channel.
And the fact that the rest of the games are on streaming, including all W League games as well, which is great.
Yeah, W League is huge.
Absolutely. But the fact that all the rest of the games are on streaming and not having to sit in a schedule, we're not going to be seeing as many Sunday 7 p.m. games anymore because
I certainly hope not. The
FFA aren't going to be hamstrung by the TV deal from Fox. It's going to be the league who's run by the clubs on their effectively their own streaming platform. Brilliant. We're going to see 5 p.m. games on a Sunday instead.
Do they say when that what slot they'll use for the TV game?
So it's the 7:30 p.m. Saturday game.
Cool. So there will be one of those. We're unlikely to get those.
Well, that'll be 9:30 p.m. for us.
Yeah, exactly. So we won't get that TV game, home game for us.
No, that's fine.
Which is fine, which means we're probably going to end up with a lot of Sunday at 4 o'clock games. And that is magnificent.
Yeah, we're getting the Sunday games anyway. Just having them at 7 p.m. But yeah, just good news all around. Yep. What a good week.
Yeah, if we could just end the season just like not – you know,
win the next 5 games, lift the toilet seat, done.
Yep. That'd be great. Easy. Honestly, right now though, I think the fact that with 2 games to go, we're still in with a shout, considering the season we've had and the hardships the team have had to go through to get into this position. I consider this almost a successful season.
Yep. Well, it's
certainly going to get a pass mark because of the adversity they've gone through.
I think we talked about this at the start of the season. What would a success be? And the success would be just get through the season, don't completely shit the bed, come back next season and start again. But we're almost going over and above that with we're not going to be starting again when we come back in October. We're going to be like building on a 24,000 strong crowd and bringing back as many of those people as we can.
If we finish outside the 6, it's not by much.
No, exactly. Yeah.
And a couple months ago, we all thought there was no chance of us making the 6. We thought it was done. We had that conversation. Yeah. Doesn't matter anymore. We're not making the playoffs. What do we want to get out of the season? We had that conversation and suddenly it's like, well, actually, we might make the 6. And we will have been pretty darn close. And that's a good effort.
Yeah.
So it's a big turnaround.
The perception of the club too, outside the fans. Like everyone's kind of like, oh, this. I mean, even the, you know, the diehards, they're kind of like, well, actually, you know, the Phoenix have done it tough. Well, it's kind of almost as though we've supplanted Mariners as people's kind of second team, you know, the plucky plucky underdogs. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'll take that.
Imagine someone coming out now and saying the Phoenix needs to leave the league.
Yeah.
They are going to get shouted down from the rooftops, which has not been the case previously. But yeah, just what a good time for the club. And let's just keep it going on Saturday, on Sunday. I want to keep saying it's on Saturday, but it's just not.
I wish it was on Saturday.
I wish it was on Saturday too. I mean, I'm flying. Yeah, true. Yeah. I wouldn't be flying back at 8:30 p.m. that night.
Well, there's going to be a lot of us on that flight.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Pretty much all of us.
I've done the up and down in a day for the Handy Prem final for T-Dubs, but that was an exhausting day. This is going to be something else. If you
naps in the corridor lounge,
I think under any other circumstances, the Phoenix would not be doing their one Auckland game on a Sunday.
No, absolutely not.
But needs must, you got to take that's it. Fine, you know. Yeah. And I have no problem.
And
with
to be fair,
pretty good.
They put it at 3:30. They would have looked at what the flights back was. They go on. If people can get back on that 30, let's put it at 3:30. Off we go. So yeah, they've but if you're on that 8:30 fly back, 8:30 p.m. Auckland to Wellington, come have a beer with us in the bar at the airport because we'll be having one there.
Come say hi. We'll be there.
Yep. All 4 of us will be actually.
Yeah, we're all on that.
I won't be having a beer because I've got to drive
up.
Yeah, I won't be drinking either because I'll probably be sitting on the laptop doing photos.
I'll be driving my ass home.
Come and buy all of us a beer and I'll drink Frosties and Dave will drink cams.
I'll drink all the packs.
Yeah. Hey, let's quickly talk about the New Zealand National League regional stage first before we end for the day because we're coming to the business end of that little...
only about halfway through.
Okay, sorry.
Not even halfway through.
I've been not following it at all. But we've got the big game this weekend is Miramar taking on Wellington Olympic. Yeah. Olympic unbeaten, I believe, and Miramar as well.
They have the exact same win-loss record.
Cool.
But...
So even on points.
Miramar have a much greater goal difference.
Right, cool.
And have scored a lot more goals.
So where's this game and what time is it, Cam?
David Farrington Park at 2:30 on Saturday.
Brilliant. We can go and watch that and then go
and
to the
And you should. It is the top of the table clash.
I might actually come to that because I need to go to the house on Saturday afternoon. So that's good.
Yeah.
I can
pick you up on the way through if you want.
Can you pick me up? No, don't.
I'm coming from Tower, so no.
All right. So come down, watch that. It'll pretty much decide on this who's going to win the league, I think. Have they played each other yet, or is this the first one of the
first
season?
Time. The second time they play each other is the last game of the season.
That'll be fun.
Unless there's postponements or whatever. They're scheduled for, I think it's
For that top grade, there won't be postponements.
I think it's scheduled for the 14th.
We got along.
The 14th of August.
Anything can happen with the old COVID-19. COVID-19 does not adhere to football schedules.
It certainly doesn't adhere to its 19 either. It seems to have been busting out.
Do you want to touch on COVID?
Not really. Okay, we've been going for an hour, 5 minutes. Everyone knows what's going on. Melbourne's a bit shit.
Well, and hopefully it doesn't. Hey,
great that it shit this week and not last week, though, right?
Yeah, they would have already been here, thankfully.
Yeah.
But
they're not. The 20th. Okay. So they've every chance that those guys were exposed. Yeah.
Right. Let's not end on a COVID note. Let's just end on a hey, that was a good week. We'll see you in Auckland. Come and join the zone with us. Have a beer. Have a great time. We're at the Mornington Tavern, I believe, before the game.
We've got Morningside.
Morningside Tavern.
Morningside for life.
There we go. I should have remembered that.
But going to the pub. Maybe sometime.
If you've got an hour and 6 into our podcast episode, then you probably care enough to want to come down and have a beverage with us. So do that. Come to the game, sing some songs, watch a performance that is going to win us 3 points, and then catch a flight home. Great. Thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry it's been a while, and we'll be with you next week. Goodbye.
Maybe sometime brings you
big crowds at the big game brings you
he's one of us brings you
am shitting the brown bed brings you
it's a city made of phoenixes.